So he's coming back. He said he should see us in the morning. Okay. So.
You know, this is the time of year, right before we start preaching. This is the time of year when we need to pray for one another because of inclement weather. You take like, it's Chrissy, right? Like she driving from Ozark down here. And some of us live off a little bit. We just need to hold one another up in prayer. I usually have some kind of a prayer thing going on Facebook at this time of the year. And I got a call from Mary McFarland this morning. She said, Pastor, Channel 5 is saying ugly things about Logan County. Have you checked the road? So I went out and checked, and they were fine. But if you ever wonder, you can call our house or just get on Facebook. I'll have something on there. It was fun. Anybody have trouble this morning? No, it was good. But, you know, we're probably, as much as we've been praying for snow, we'll probably get some. So let's just be cool, huh? And careful.
I like all the little snowballs. Everybody wants some snowballs. I've had enough snowballs, but praise God, if somebody wants some snow, I think there'll be enough to make Christmas pretty if that's what you want. But I have a message, but I'm just going to read out of John 15 and verse 5. And I try to do this every morning because without God, I can do nothing. And in John 15:5, it says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And you know, everybody's heard Philippians 4:13. It says, therefore, through Christ, I can do all things. Therefore, through Christ who strengthens me. So, you know, without God, you can do nothing. But with God, you can do everything. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think, according to his power that's inside me. But without God, I couldn't even get up here. Without God, I would have trouble even getting up. My preacher, when I was a little kid, said he wouldn't go to the grocery store without the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't want to wake up and get out of bed without the Holy Ghost or without God. Can I get an amen? But that was all free right there. And what the message in my heart is about our heart, you know, heart issues. And I seen this picture that little Corey Flugrad, who used to be in our church, a little kid, she made a painting and she's grown now. Could you put that up, Jer? And up here you got a mask, you got somebody smiling, looking normal. And then underneath the mask, you got somebody that's starting to worry, starting to fall apart. But then down here, you can't even figure out what's down there. And when I looked at this, I thought about my life. I thought about how sometimes I can make myself look so normal, but how sometimes inside of me was all mixed up, confused, hurt, bitter, full of sin, doing things I shouldn't have did, even when I was a Christian. But the worst part is here, you can't even tell who that is. But as I looked at this, you know, I think it's time, because according to the scriptures, the time of the return of Jesus Christ is at hand. It's time to take off our mask. And if there's some issues inside of our heart or some problems inside of our heart or some sin inside of our heart, it's time to get to the heart issues with God. And it's time to make what we're looking like and what we're walking like and what we're talking like. It's time to make that come to pass in the name of Jesus. And Kelly preached this morning a great message. I'm preaching pretty much on the same lines, but she did something different, which isn't really different. But in, I'll look the verse up. I got it wrote down so I can't mess it up. Luke 10 and 17, 18 and 19. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But this part of this verse right now is the part I'm getting at. Satan fell. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And it's time that we take authority over the lying demonic spirits of hell that attach themselves to us, whether it's through depression, oppression, whether it's through lust. But it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ rise up and bind Satan from blinding our eyes and our minds through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a little bit of money in my wallet today. But I think God wants me to have more money, Bill. So I put my wallet up here. And when I started putting my wallet up here, there wasn't even a little bit of money in my wallet. But as I noticed that we pray over the wallets, every time I pray, there's something happens. There's a real estate transactions. I think we prayed over the wallet before you got hired at that guy over there. And the guy just, you know, hey, I need somebody to work. And me and you hooked up, and the next thing I know, you was over there working. Whoever I sent him didn't work out at first, and then you were there. And I just thank God for that. But I bind Satan from stealing in our children's life. I bind Satan from stealing in our minds and in our hearts. And, you know, when I looked at that picture, it was a heart issue. And, you know, we can look smooth and we can play it off on the outside. But inside of our hearts, there's things going on sometimes that shouldn't be going on. Amen? And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, for the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And you know, show that picture again, the opening picture. I don't think Pastor was here. And Corey Flugrad drew this picture last year. And we were talking about on the outside of us can look really great. The outside can shake the pastor's hands. I've done it myself. Shook his hand, you know, looks sound, look like a good Christian. But inside me was falling apart. Inside of me was full of lust. Inside of me was doing things I shouldn't have had to do. But thank God that's not the way it is now. Amen? But you know, somebody had to be real with me and tell me, hey, you can't live like this and go to heaven. You can't do the things that the world does and come in and praise God and act like, hallelujah, everything's all right. If you're going to hallelujah and everything's going to be all right, you need to be living the life. You need to be doing what God's called you to do. But man looks on the outside, but God's looking on our hearts. And in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, and we can start at verse 20. I love Proverbs. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, and let them not depart from your eyes. You know, your eyes have a lot to do with what you put your eyes on, what you focus your life on, what you put inside your spirit is what's going to come out. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And the last part of this in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I've heard Pastor preach time and time and time again, get a hold of your thought life. See, your heart is your thought life, is your inner emotions, is your spirit. Because whatever you think you can do in here or whatever you're thinking about, you can do. And he's preached that, and I know that to be the truth. But the better thing, if you need to be delivered, if you need to be set free from something, if you start rethinking the program, if you start rethinking on the things of God and saying, I don't have to go that way. You know, when the devil was trying to drag me to hell, I had to make a choice for myself. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to go to heaven. I'd like to have a nice life. And just like Pastor quoted the other day, even Billy Graham said, if you don't get nothing out of being a Christian but having a nice life, isn't that enough? I mean, I was there at the bridge yesterday. I went to my closet and got some clothes that were nice clothes. I gave one of the shirts to Brenda, babe, because it was a new shirt. And for some reason, I picked a medium instead of like a 2X, and I don't know how I did that. But that baby liked to suffocate me when I put it on, you know. I thought I was a goner. I said, I'm going to have to get rid of this shirt. I gave it to Brenda Bay, but a couple people came late And people were going through all this stuff. And for some reason, people just started donating. Jimmy gave me some clothes. People just, your neighbor that brought the hay, she's texting me wanting to give some clothes. And so I told God last year, I quit going. I went through my own little struggles, my own personal issues, my own divorce. And one wife, you're gone too much. You're doing too much ministry. We need time together. Well, I take her back and give her extra time. She left anyway. But regardless, I said, God, every time you fill up those clothes, I'll take them to the homeless. And God's filled it up more times. I mean, there's once or twice I had to go twice in a month. But I've been trying to go at least once a month. And, you know, if you're selling real estate and your car is all filled with clothes and bags, you're looking like you're sort of homeless yourself, you know. Not a lot of people want to buy houses from you if they think you're living in your car, Brian. But these people were going through this stuff, and it was after everything was done, after all the food was passed out. And they were going through that, and part of me wanted to just cut them off. And then, like, I felt, I'd check in my spirit, and I felt God say, get the other bag out. Let them go through the other bag. Let them see if they can find them something. How would you like to be them instead of the guy that's going to your closet with stuff to give away? How would you like to be them? And, you know, I mean, Brenda and I was waiting, and it was aggravating for a little bit, but I took that other bag out and said, go through it, and waited, and we, you know, when they were done, he helped me put it back in the car, you know, and then we went and we did what we always do. We went and ate more. Brenda bought me the biggest, nicest, prettiest hot dogs for my birthday, and I ate more than enough. And I ate some food with the homeless too, you know, because I'm not too good to eat with them guys either. But how would you like not to have all the blessings that God, can you even fathom that? Not to be where God's got you at today? And the devil continually bombards our minds and tries to stop us from where we're going with God. Because wherever we're going with God isn't where we was a year ago. A year ago, Tommy was standing there saying, I thank God for my new house this year. I believe God's going to get me a new house. And you know, I don't care how many times that they said that, because there was a time 30, 40 years ago in my mom's church, every Sunday she stood up and she said, I thank God, pray for my son Sam. I thank God for Sam's salvation. And then when I was 31 years old, I got saved. And then I heard the preacher said, well, we hope Sam makes it. And that ticked me off because I thought, what kind of crap is that? We hope Sam makes it. He's the preacher. He's the one supposed to be, you know, giving me a little hope here. So it ticked me off so bad, I just decided to stay saved by hook or crook. So ultimately, entrust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. So in John 3, 1, 2, and 3, and from the inside, a man is really, the real man is on the inside of us. And the real man is our thoughts and our emotions and our spirit man. The real man's going to live forever in one place or another. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher and are come from God. No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you translate that last part of that verse, except a man be born again, he cannot understand, perceive, get a grip, get a revelation of what God's doing in anybody's life. And Kelly was talking this morning about God told her, don't be calling all these people. You know, there's a spiritual leader in your life. You need to call him, but you don't need to be asking somebody that's serving the devil some advice for your life, or somebody that's $1,000 in debt more than you. Hey, how do I get out of debt? You know what? You got to, if they're not born again, I wouldn't even be talking to them, actually. I mean, you can talk to them and love anybody you want. But we're talking to people. I mean, I got people at work trying to give me advice, you know, on how to be a Christian. And I'm trying to figure out this guy, man, he was wanting to kill his wife last week. I can identify him sometimes, but I can't identify that much. But so inside of us, inside out, you know, Inside of us, we got to get a hold of ourselves. Inside of us. Jesus in Luke 10 and 19, I just quoted it, he's given us power. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. God wants us to get a hold of ourselves, get a hold of our thoughts, get a hold of our heart, get a hold of our mind. You know, at some point in time when you pray and believe God for something, if you're believing God for restoration, you need to get a hold of God and believe inside, God can do this. I can do this. I can do whatever God's told me I can do. God's called you to be a business person. One time, I had a shirt on I bought at a secondhand store, and I was dressed real nice, and I walked into Jeff's store, and Jeff said, I see the anointing of a businessman all over you. And I thought, Jeff has lost his mind. I'm here to try to mow his yard for $40, and he's telling me I'm a businessman. But you know, I looked at myself, and I thought, well, I don't look that bad. Jeff might have something here. I could be a businessman. Jeff is going to be 50 instead of 40 this time. I'm sorry, brother. Prices is up. I got to get me a new outfit. But you know, God called me a preacher 30 years ago when I was sitting back there, and Brother Emmett was up here and said, I believe we got some preachers in the house. Who believes the call of God is on their life to preach? And with sunken eyes and long hair and looking like a drug addict but just become born again, I felt like God was telling me, you're going to preach one day. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to witness for my kingdom. I can't even remember if I was bold enough to stand up. I think I might have put my hand up like this and hid. But, you know, Emmett prayed over my wallet that day, too. And I think there was $5 in my wallet, and I put it in that offering for Brother Emmett. And Emmett took my wallet, and he prayed over it, just like you were praying over here. And Emmett gave me my wallet back and says, God says you're never going to be broke, Sam, that he's always going to have more than enough for you. And, you know, I might not have realized it, but from that point on, God started changing my life. And from the point that you get your heart and say, God, I don't want my way in my heart. I want your way. And God's ways are higher than our ways. The moment that we take our heart and say, Lord, I want to be born again. And even if we are born again, how many times I've messed up in life, the more times I messed up was the more times I got on my knees and said, God, I messed it. Help me again. My favorite prayer is every morning, God, I don't know how bad I messed it yesterday, but help me to get it right today. Help me to get it right today. And when Kelly was preaching that message this morning, my wife was back there bawling like a baby. She had me bawling like a baby. But, you know, when I came in here, I had one kind of attitude. But when I left here today, I had a better kind of attitude. And, you know, whatever kind of attitude you walked in here with today, you don't have to walk out with. You can walk out with the power of God on your life, knowing that the blessing of God is upon you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And Kelly's message this morning, you know, even yesterday at the bridge, the guy was using that scripture about the Christmas story and how the angel came to Mary. And, you know, the bottom line was, be it so unto me according to thy word. And nobody at the bridge, they were all cold. They were hungry. They were getting their coats. They were trying to stay in the survival mood. But, you know, nobody gave the Lord and said, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Help me, God. But I have seen people get saved there. But in our own lives today, can we say, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Help me. I have some issues in my heart. Help me. I have some strongholds trying to attach yourself to my mind and my life. Help me, God. In Psalm 133 and verse, I'm just going to read the whole chapter, Chair. I think it's 103. You know, I've heard about people being bipolar, and you know, you can look nice and bipolar, but when you start talking, you know, you're a little nuts, you know, and they don't never make sense. And Brian told me the one verse in Proverbs one time about, Sam, you can keep your mouth shut and people will think you're intelligent, or you can open your mouth and remove all doubt. And I've never forgot that verse, Brian. I try to shut up as much as I can, because the more I shut up, the more smarter I look, you know? And, unity, you know, unity. You should be in unity with yourself, because we're in church saying, amen, we want to prosper. Amen, we don't want to be in fear. And then you get out and boom, something happens and all of a sudden you get shaken up. You know, me, I like to wear these nice jeans that make me look younger, you know, but the facts of the matter is tomorrow I'm 58 years old and my knees hurt like 58-year-old knees. So, you know, even though I got these nice young-looking jeans that are expensive, my knees is like, I'm hobbling around like an old man. So you still got to deal with reality. But you know, you shouldn't be in church saying, I'm believing God for a miracle, and then let the devil steal it from you right as soon as you get outside the door. You shouldn't be having the joy of the Lord and saying, I'm going to do this, and then with your own self, argue that out. And whether it's the umbrella or whether you're reasoning out with yourself, because Mary said, Kelly used this morning, Mary said, how can it be? I'm a virgin. How can I have a child? No, if God tells you you're going to be great, why don't you just get it inside you that you're going to be great? If God called you to be a nurse angel, why don't you get it in you that you can do all them tests and that's nothing and you're already there? Because God already sees you successful. And if God's told you you can do something and everything's going to be all right, it don't matter if the whole house is falling down around you. If God calls you and says you're going to be all right, you're going to be all right. Let's just get the sound mind. God has given you a sound mind. No fear. Amen? So unity, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers, for sisters, for kids to dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord God, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You know, if you don't get into agreement with God's word, if you don't get into agreement where you're going to church, if you don't get into agreement with yourself, there's not much you can do. But if you can get into agreement and just agree that, hey, if God says something, he means it. And if God tells you you can do something, you can do it. Amen? In Genesis 3, verse 1, I can read it from my Bible, and I'm going down to 9, and I'm going to stop at 9. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto that woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know in that day you eat that your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took the fruit and did eat and gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, God wants you to open your eyes to him tonight. God wants you to open your heart to him tonight. Amen. These guys, this was before the fall. They had automatic communion fellowship with God. And then and it says, and they knew they were naked. They knew they did wrong. You know, God knows we're going to do wrong before we do wrong. And he made a way out for us through Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And tonight the Lord wants to know where you're at. Where are you at in your walk with him? Where are you at with your heart issues? Have you took all your heart and give it to God? As Kelly was talking about, if we put anything else in front of God, it's an idol. I was back there thinking I could probably slow down and cut a job, cut something, give God some more time, take some more time. I was getting something out of the message. I didn't want an umbrella to be over me. I wanted to try to get what God wants me. You know, God calls us to a church, and he puts you in a church and puts a pastor over your life. You might as well get what God's called you to get here. So God wants to know about your heart. Now, I know about my heart. I know I need more of God. I know I got to make some adjustments, and I decided that this morning when I stood up. Yesterday when we was at the Freddy's restaurant and I was eating some hot dogs my sister Brenda bought me, there was a young lady there. The young lady's probably 17. She's in college. And I seen her there before. And it was when Freddy's first opened. And I mean, there was like buku people in there. And it was back in the spring. And she was working. And you could see the stress on her face. You could see the aggravation on her face. And God said, give her a word, Sam. And, you know, I thought, well, this kid ain't going to listen to me, you know. But, you know, then I went one step above my own mind and said, if this is God telling me to give her a word, it really doesn't matter if she receives it or not. It matters if I do it or not. And I said, hey, here, God just told me to bless you. Here's a tip for you. God says he's got a plan for your life, and it's good and not evil. God says don't worry about this. He's called you for higher things. This is just a temporary setting. And when I seen that young lady in there yesterday, I gave her another tip, you know. I mean, it was a $5 bill. She wasn't even waiting on me. And I said, hey, every time I see you, I'm going to give you $5. I said, remember when I told you that God had a plan for you? She said, yeah. She said, these people have asked me about being a management, sending me to school to be a manager. And I can't do that right now because I'm in school for management and possibly ministry and this and that. But, you know, her name is Marissa, and I told her that we were going to pray for her. So I'm going to put her on the prayer list tomorrow. And Marissa, it's just a simple prayer, because I can't count how many times I've told a kid, Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for your life, and it is good and not evil. You don't have to work cleaning toilets in a nursing home. You can be the person that owns the nursing home. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be whatever God tells you can be. Amen? Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And, you know, I love that Samuel Jackson credit card commercial. What's in your wallet? You know, Jesus, the living God, is saying, what's in your heart tonight? What's in your heart? What's in your emotions? What's in the realm of your understanding? What is it you need to give over to God? Is it some kids that ain't saved? Whatever it is, we just need to give it to God. What's in your heart today? One of the things that God's really been dealing with me, and I don't know, it's not just Christmas time, but all the time, because I have calls. This is going out. I need you over here to do this. I got people calling me that I don't even manage the place no more, and they're calling me. And, you know, and I'm going to start, you know, I try to be nice. But sometimes when nice doesn't work, ugly's always on the way. That center person that I'm not supposed to be like tries to rise up. But in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and 8, God has been telling me, Sam, just get a hold of the peace of God. And sometimes I can be sitting here, and, you know, maybe I'll get a call or a text or something, or one deal fell through with some land this week, but I'm thinking God's going to bring it back. Who knows, you know? And why get all stressed out and worried? God's saying the peace of God that passes all understanding. So there ain't no way you can figure out the peace of God that passes all understanding, because it's something God will give you, but you got to get a hold of yourself. You got to get a hold of your mind. You got to get a hold of whatever it is troubling you, and you got to bind Satan in the name of Jesus from stealing, killing, and destroying in your own life, in your own mind, in your own house, in your own children, in your own job. If you ain't got a job, in the job God's about to get you. Philippians 4. 6, and I'm not sure if it's 7 and 8, but be anxious for nothing. Don't have anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The word peace is one of God's names in the Bible. The Bible, there's 5 times that God's called peace, shalom. And it means, when I looked it up in the Greek, with my beautiful, did I get the Strong's Concordance out? No, I did like Pastor said, and I Googled it. And they gave me that Strong's thing just like that. It was almost better than looking it up. Mind, understanding, reasoning. So how many of us have tried to reason out, how's God going to help us here? How's God going to fix this? How's God going to do this? I wish I hadn't married this person. I wish I hadn't done this. How's God going to do it? You know, God's going to do it when you just give it to him and say, God, grant me the peace of God that passes understanding. I repent, God. I screwed up again. I messed up my life again. God, I overspent again. Help me to get my debt under control. Help me to get my life under control. Help me to be a better Christian. Help me to be a better son. Help me to be a better human being. Help me not to be that person in Corey's painting. And she said it was about inner emotions and inner demons. And I asked for her permission to use it, and she said, go for it. I texted her on Facebook. But I thought that that was an amazing little piece of art for just a young lady. But I take note that she was in this church for a lot of years, and the anointing of God is continually on her life, just like the anointing of God is on all of our lives for greatness. That's really all I got, Pastor.
Praise God. That was a great word. Did you find a piece of that yourself? Think about that. That was a beautiful word, Sam. You covered several different things. I hope everybody appreciated it. In my office, I have 4 little booklets I'd like to give away tonight. One of them is called Big Questions, Real Answers. And this is a pretty good little book that you can read, and it really does answer some questions. Some really, really good material here. Let me see if I can find that part that showed the there was a part I was looking at on page 83. Let me get there. One of the questions is this here. What is right and what is right and wrong? And the Bible talks about that. And then here's a question here. Is the Bible believable? And he's got the answers in there. Why is Jesus Christ the only way to God? Aren't other religions just as good as Christianity? Why would a good God send anyone to hell? And it just goes on and on. It's a book of about 100 pages. Does anybody want that? We'll just leave it here. We won't worry about it. You want it? Well, come and get it. And if you don't want these, don't worry about it. We've got them. And now, Brother Hagin wrote a very interesting book before he died, and I've read this book. And the title of this book is I Went to Hell. It tells an experience that he had one time, and I thought it was interesting. Does anybody want that? Okay, Granny, come get it. Okay. All right. Here's another one by Kenneth Hagin. He's one of my favorite authors. And this book is called How to Walk in Love. And there's some Bible verses in there. Anybody want that? Was there a hand up? Yeah, okay. Oh, Kayla, yeah, you might need that, huh? I'm just kidding. The last one is, I have certain ideas about in this life, prosperity in this life. I believe in prosperity in this life. I believe in good health. I believe that in many things that other people, I think I take it a little farther than others do. But I believe in the prosperity message. I believe that everything I touch turns to gold. I believe that I have more power than the devil. And I believe I'm not going to be poor. I don't seek to be rich, but I believe I'm not going to be poor. And this book is called, this is the final book tonight, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And this was one of the books that helped shape my ideas. Anybody want that? All right, Tom, there it is. Well, we love all of y'all. And Tom, if you would, give me that Bible right there. And we're glad everybody came. Does anybody need prayer for anything else? We tried to cover everything. Is anybody sick and wants prayer? And if, then come up here if you do. And I just want to anoint you with oil and pray. If you just have something that you think, you don't even have to tell me what it is that you want prayer for. Just come up here and we're going to anoint you with oil. Mel, come on up here with me and just lay hands on Mary. In the name of Jesus, sicko. Be well. Be well, sicko. Father, heal this young fella in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heal him, Lord. So we can really get out there and play lots of basketball. You want prayer for healing or just some unspoken?
Unspoken, yeah.
Lord, just grant Bub the desires of his heart. You know why he came up here. He knows why he came up here. That's good enough. Let the work be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Lord, take this crybaby with all these aches and pains and help him. In Jesus' name, amen. Sam, you did a wonderful job tonight. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Yeah, give him a big welcome. And just stand to your feet. We like to close with a blessing because God wants me to bless everybody, and God wants to bless everybody. And those that come in here, I can bless. If you would please, as a sign that you're drinking in God's blessing, just lift up both of your hands if you can. And I just say unto you tonight, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his love and his patience and his power upon you and give you peace and direction where you can live with yourself, where you can be happy. And everyone said amen. We love you and hope to see you again Wednesday night.